Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with me, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry. Hey everybody, welcome to Dank Discussions. Today we're joined by Sunitra Luckett. Sunitra is a plant-based chef and owner of Growth of a Goddess, Reiki practitioner, meditation instructor, and soul therapist at Lucky Oasis Meditation, and owner of ERB Goddess Botanicals. Thanks for joining us today, Sunitra.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Super excited for this conversation. Let our listeners know where you're based out of today.
I am based out of San Diego. Very virtual, but pretty much Southern San Diego.
Very good. Very good. Just down to five a little bit or a lot of bit. You have so much stuff going on. You have Growth of a Goddess. Obviously you have ERB Goddess Botanicals. You have Lucky Oasis Meditation. First of all, how do you have time for all this stuff? And break down a little bit of, what you're doing with each.
Yeah, so everything started with my chef business. I've been cooking for 20 years, and I launched my business in New Orleans in 2016, and then we relocated out here, which is more of a more vegan type of environment, but how I cook my food is a lot different. I'm all about comfort food. I'm all about hitting your soul and really making you feel like this is something you would eat at home, And I wanted to incorporate marijuana into my business because a lot of people have a certain misunderstanding of what marijuana does, like what they portray on TV and like, oh, you just want to get high, you just want to do this, you want to do that. But they don't understand the healing effects that they can actually have on your body. So I started doing that. And then I was like, well, food is one thing, but what about, the emotional part of it? You can fix one part of you, but you have to look at it in a whole, like the whole circle, the full circle, when it comes to something like this. Because you got to heal your mind, your body, and your soul. And that is the purpose for my meditation business. How you protect your energy as the foods that you're putting in, the people that you're around, and everything. My Herb Goddess Botanicals came about because I got tired of breaking out. I have celiacs, and a lot of people don't understand that there's a difference between a gluten intolerance and celiacs. With celiacs, you can die. Uh-huh. You can break out in hives. Your throat can close up. I've went anaphylactic. I don't know how many times. So I was like, okay. What do you do when they don't have anything for you? You make your own. Uh-huh. So not only did I want to reach out to people that have severe skin disorders and a lot of stuff out there to say that it's natural, that it's holistic, and that it's so good for you, but yet it's all these different chemicals in it. And I wanted to educate people on the medicinal properties of marijuana. So when they read the names of my soap, whether it's Blue Dreams, Golden Tangy, White Fire OG, Black Ice, all of those different ones have a medicinal property behind its name to be able to contribute exactly what the soap does. No, yeah, it's a lot, but it's worth it.
I love it, and I'm so grateful. First of all, so excited to have you on because we get to talk about something a little bit different. So many times we're talking about obviously wellness, it comes up a lot. We talk about holistic approaches, obviously, we're talking about cannabis based, but you have taken it to a whole nother level, where it's, you talked about earlier the question, talking about bringing the emotional side. Bringing in the soul side. And I think we neglect that aspect when we talk about wellness, we talk about holistic approaches because, obviously you know, we want to have a science-based approach, and maybe those things are a little, those are neglected in general in society, and in those kind of approaches. You know, obviously we need data, we need more research, obviously, but when we're also talking about the soul, we're talking about nourishing our vessels, right? Our these yeah. bodies carry us, you know, through this experience, this human experience. So it's so important to nourish that as well. Now, you know, I've always kind of been a little bit spiritual. You know, people's manners have always been like this, but I didn't necessarily dedicate my life in the same way that you have. Tell me your journey. Have you always just kind of been like this, always had these interests, or is there kind of a turning point, something that came in that has kind of driven your life in this direction?
Yes. So I definitely had a turning point. I grew up in a Christian home, Baptist, non-denominational, and anything other than what you are told, what you read, is like of the devil. And I knew I had gifts when I was younger, but when you're constantly told that this is something bad, you're like, okay, well, okay, let me just put that on the back burner. And I ran for it from it for a long time. And in 2016, we moved out here to California, military relocation, because my wife is in the Navy. And within us, within like maybe a couple of days of us getting here, she had to check in. And once she checked in, we found out she had to be deployed. And I had just started a new job. And literally, the day that my wife leaves, the next day, my great-grandmother passed away. A month after that, my grandmother passed away. And then a month after that, my grandfather on my biological dad's side passed away. And I couldn't leave because I just started a new job. And I was out here by myself, and my nearest family member was 30 hours away. So I was like, either I'm going to let this eat me up, or I'm going to dive into myself and actually heal. Because I got to think, like, a year before, we moved out in 2017. A year before, 2 years before that, I just buried my dad. When you are someone that has been diagnosed with bipolar, manic depression, severe anxiety, social anxiety, OCD, ADHD, and people, all of these things, and people telling you on how you are, how you actually react to certain situations, it's a different type of pressure. Dealing with stress, when you have all of these psychological and mental disorders, it's almost like putting everything in a pressure cooker, and then it just explodes. So you can either be put on medicine and then lose yourself completely, or you can do a holistic way and try to find yourself. And the hardest thing for you to do is to face yourself. A lot of people don't want to admit that they got issues.
Yeah.
No one is perfect. No, there is no such thing as normal, you know. And unfortunately, in the Black African American community, you have, like, when I was younger, it was always, don't tell anything that's going on in your house. Don't show all these extra emotions. Don't wear your heart on your sleeve. You're supposed to be this Black, strong, educated woman. You don't break. So a lot of people don't share what's going on with them. And I had tried to meditate before, and it didn't really go so well, because it literally almost took everything out of me. I didn't know what I was doing. Trying to open up your root chakra. A lot of people don't understand that your root chakra is literally your foundation. When you are dealing with a lot of emotions and a lot of stress, and you wonder why your stomach's upset, people think that we hold our emotions in our heart, but in reality, they're in your lower three chakras. When you have a lot of stress, anger, resentment, and you feel that there's a lot of things going wrong in your life, it's because of your root chakra is off. And if you're not willing to face yourself, then you can't never be able to understand the way that you need to heal. So,
well,
yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, you talk about, you know, we all have our own things in our own community, but talking about having to be a strong woman, strong Black woman. All I know is, all I hear right now is strength and courage. And I really appreciate you sharing that with me. You know, the different losses that you've had, and I'm sorry, you know, for your losses, definitely. And I think, you know, speaking of courage, I think it takes a lot of courage to look at that. And you said you had to kind of go within. And I think that's kind of the thing that people are missing. And but you had the courage to go in there and do it, you know, and you've made it not only that you did it, but now you've made that into kind of, you know, your life. It's your business. It's your different, you know, this is what you dedicate yourself to. So that's incredible.
Yeah, a lot of people think that being spiritual is like you're always like rainbows and sunshine. Hell no, it is absolutely not that. Being spiritual is constantly self-reflection and trying to, you know, understand yourself on a deeper level, because we all change. And the only thing that you have certain in life is change and death. It's the only two things. Anything else is not guaranteed. Every time that you're unlocking another part of yourself, you have to relearn yourself all over again to understand, you know, like different energies that's around you, what is not servicing your highest good. You know, people think that, oh no, we've been friends for 15 plus years. Like, I know you. No, you don't. People that's around you, if they're not growing with you, then your circle needs to change.
Yeah.
We have this thing in our minds that, you know, yes, you only get that one family that you're born into, but blood don't make you family. It is the people that are putting into your life that's contributing to your growth. You can have your biological family and then have your own soul family. I have soul sisters that understand me more than my own actual biological sisters do. And it's nothing against them, but we're not on the same wavelength.
Mm-hmm. And you're 100% right. You know, you said people think that being spiritual is this, you know, hippie, whatever, rainbows and unicorns and everything. And like you said, it's not. You know, for me, being spiritual is being real. You know, it's so easy to be spiritual when you're on a trip. You know, or, you know, it's great to disconnect and to go on a holiday or to go in an intense, you know, going to India, going to Thailand, going to all these kind of things. And it's amazing experiences to bring that back and integrate them into your life. And also, you know, you see a lot of times that people, they go, and then when they come back, they think that everything's just going to be different right away, right? It's an aspect of integrating it into your life, making life change. And that's really what spirituality really is, I feel anyways. You know, there's a saying that says, you know, meditation, and correct me, you know, you're the meditation master here. You're the meditation instructor. So, but meditation isn't so much about, you know, being a monk on a hill, you know, and being able to be quiet. No, it's the opposite. It's actually being in a dining hall with banging and clanging and, you know, people yelling and whatever else, and focusing on your breathing and being able to integrate those different techniques and situations that necessarily wouldn't call for that, and being able to use them to your advantage.
So what you just described is mindfulness meditation. Mm-hmm. And crazy enough, they teach mindfulness meditation to Marines, and they have a lot of people don't know this, they actually have a holistic part of the like stress relief and stuff like that available to military, active duty and so forth, but that's not their first approach. Mm-hmm. Medicine is always the first approach, but mindfulness meditation is where there is a lot of things that's going on around you, but you're being mindful of your actions, you're being mindful of your words, you're being mindful of your breathing, you're being mindful of your energy, and there's different types of meditation. So we got vinyasa, you have Western, you got Eastern, there's all these different ones, and everything all points back to the fact of actually being one with yourself, being aligned, and that's what spiritual maintenance comes into part. We got to take breaks from people, from things, and it's like you have to realign yourself. I tell my clients, at least twice a week, because today for me is self-love Wednesday. You know, you have to do something for yourself. You have to put into yourself more, because at the end of the day, you only get this in this particular lifetime. You have this one body, your soul, everything, even though we transcend lifetimes. But at this moment, what do you need to do? What do you need to do to realign yourself? Mm-hmm. Have you put into yourself this week? Take a sea salt bath. And a lot of people don't know pink Himalayan sea salt is like one of the best things that you can actually put into your bath water. It helps to reset your aura.
What was that you should put in?
A pink Himalayan sea salt, okay, or dead sea salt. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but if you do pink Himalayan sea salt, I mean, it must have the one that has no iodine in it. And the San Francisco Sea Salt Company, that really good sea salt. But you put like two handfuls in your water. You take a bath first, or take a shower first. And then you run your bath water, put two handfuls of that in there. You can put some baking soda in there, some essential oils, and it resets your aura. It completely takes away all the stress, anxiety of the week, just to give you that refresher. It could be the simplest things that we do. You don't have to go on a trip. Now, everybody got money like that. People think you need to go and pay somebody all this money to tell you how you need to live your life, when in reality, it's just a bath away, or just resting, or going to get a massage, you know? Uh-huh. Like the different points, the chakra points into your body and the meridian lines, the different pressure points, you know? It's not like people get acupuncture. It's not one way to do it. It's multiple ways.
That's for sure. There's, you know, I always encourage as well a multi-pronged approach. Now you brought up, you know, medicine, you know, and, you know, I think a lot of people are using that obviously for pain management and, and that's in our culture very accepted and still cannabis-based solutions aren't as accepted for a number of reasons. Now, how are you incorporating cannabis into what you do with your clients to help them?
So depending on what they have going on. So for me, I'd be having like a lot of stories because my body been went through some things. But one thing that I tell, because I do have a lot of women clientele and who suffer from very severe periods. And like a Flora Wellness has these suppositories, if I'm saying it right, not depository, but suppository. And it's almost like a tampon and you put it in and it dissolves to relieve your cramps. Like people, they tell you, oh, just take a Tylenol, take some ibuprofen. It's inflammation medicine, but it's not touching on the fact that your muscles are just going sporadic, mm-hmm, and a period is almost like having contractions. Okay. I was diagnosed with endometriosis. Endometriosis can be on your ovaries, it could be on your uterus, and sometimes it could be invisible to where you can go to the doctor, they do a laparoscopy to where they look on inside of your stomach and they still see nothing and you're experiencing all of this pain. And when I got diagnosed, I had to take a whole week off of work. My doctor had me on Valium, oxycodone, Percocet, Hydros, Flexeril, which is a muscle relaxer, to where I couldn't function. I couldn't leave the house. And I was like, I can't keep doing this. Like, I hate taking medicine. Uh-huh. So I scheduled an appointment with an online marijuana doctor. So it's doctors that can actually prescribe you prescriptions based on your medical diagnosis. And I forgot which one I used, but there's different ones. But you schedule an appointment, you tell them what's going on, they interview you, and based on what your diagnosis is, they can prescribe different ratios to help with your pain. So I tell people, you know, when you're going through certain stuff, I mean, you could do the CBD. You know, they have the different ratios, the drops and everything else. There's different topicals. If you're in California, thank goodness, they have this, it's called ease.com, and they actually deliver to your home. So if you're not comfortable with going to a dispensary and you're not sure what you need to get, you can have a consult with a doctor. You can order yourself online like you do food and get it delivered directly to your door. It is all about comfort on what you're comfortable with. So you just gotta experiment. You know, not everything works for everybody. You know, edibles are not for everybody.
Definitely gotta know how much it takes for you. And it's always, you know, edibles are a slippery slope, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're right about
always
that.
Always have a little bit and eat some more if you need to, not the other way around, you know. So.
Yeah, I definitely didn't take that into account my first experience. Okay. And so I just
we've all had experience, I think. We've all been there.
Just to educate themselves and just to be open minded. Because if you go in with a predisposition on how you're going to react to the energy that you're putting out, that's the reaction you're going to get. If you think you're going to have a bad experience with marijuana, well, baby, you may have a bad experience. So, yeah.
Now, you talked about, you know, your journey into the kind of holistic wellness area. And, you know, talk about the your experience with edible and the first time you didn't know. And we, like I said, we've all been there. How? Give me your story now on how you got into cannabis and using that in your practice. What came first, you know, the cannabis or the practice? And how have you, you know, kind of been able to navigate through learning the ins and outs of everything in education?
So cannabis came first for me. I started smoking at a very young age. And I was using it as an escape because, like, the medicinal marijuana is different than homegrown. Okay, like it's completely different. And I was just smoking just to function, you know, like I was trying to escape from reality. And yeah, I was still cooking and stuff like that. But I mean, until I decided I wanted to deal with my own stuff, then you know, I had to take a hiatus from smoking. And because it was at a point, I wasn't even getting high no more. Like, I was just, like, smoking just to be smoking. Yeah. Smoke when I got up. Smoke before I went to work. Smoke on my lunch break. Smoke when I got home. Smoke before I went to bed. And it was, like, an endless cycle, and I wasn't living. When I actually started to get deeper into my food practice, I was like, man, you know, like, I was watching the Netflix series High Cooking. Which is really interesting because it's like a battle between the chefs on what they're cooking and how they're incorporating what type of strain they're using. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, this is something that is, like, it's a really big deal. And I could, like, definitely dive into this to educate people more. Because back in the day, how I was growing up, anything healthy, you was trying to be white. You were trying to, you know, do it this way. Oh, what are you doing that for? That's what white people do. Or that's what hippies do. And after watching that show, I was like, you know what? Let me educate myself more. Like, what strains is good for depression? What strains is good for pain management? And then after I got mine, I didn't really know that there was a different ratio to using marijuana and CBD.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you have the stevia, you got the indica, you got the hybrid. And I had ended up making this vegan caramel sauce. And I was like, huh, okay, you know what? Ooh, I can put marijuana in this, but a different strain to where you could still function, but you can be relaxed. See, some people don't understand that if you're not aware of what you're smoking, you're going to go right to sleep. Some of it makes people hungry, and sometimes you can just be, like, zoned out. But I wanted to incorporate something to where you can be alert, you can be chill, you can be aware of your surroundings, and be mindful. So almost like a mindful strain of weed into the caramel sauce. And then once I did that, and I was testing it out, and it's like the best thing that I've ever made. So I really wanted to expand and reach more people so that can, like, have a different way of dealing with their problems. You know, like, you don't have to escape, deal with what's going on with you, and then, you know, decide, okay, this is what I'm using it for. and not using it as an escape, because there are people that are using it for epilepsy. Uh-huh. I have nocturnal seizures. Uh-huh. and to where they was giving me muscle relaxers to alleviate my pain, because I could literally jump out of my sleep. So I would use indica at night to help me to sleep and also to relax my muscles. And so I'm like, okay, you know what? If somebody needs this for this, you can incorporate this into food so that it'd be easier for them. So they're not thinking, oh my goodness, I'm smoking. This is another way of what I'm doing it. So, yeah, ingestion. So, people love food. At least I do.
So it started with the edibles and the infused meals. And then from there, it's now transitioned over to the ERB goddess. Is that kind of how it's been?
Yes.
So, now talk to me about, first of all, I would love to hear about the name ERB goddess, what's behind that. And also, you know, tell me how this also came about in your journey from how the dots connect with the two.
So ERB goddess is, I was like, oh, that's, I like herb. Okay, but I don't want to spell it as herb, H-E-R-B. Mm-hmm. And I want it to be an acronym. ERB stems from exotic, rare, and bold, because there is no other you. You are rare and you are special. You are imperfectly perfect just the way mm-hmm. you are. And that I created that for my self-love podcast. And a lot of people, of course, don't want to admit that they have issues. They don't want to admit that they accept self-destructive behaviors. Uh-huh. Everybody's like, no, I love myself. Yeah, of course I love myself. But the littlest thing can set you off, or you can't look yourself in the eye in the mirror. You can't stand naked in the mirror and be like, damn, you are beautiful. You know, like society makes us to believe that you gotta be skinny. You need to be tall. You need to have long legs. You need to have long curly hair or straight hair. In the African American community, if your hair was not that wavy, virgin type, Cuban Afro, you know, centric, you know, or if it was kinky, you was nappy headed. It wasn't appealing. It was looked at as almost in a disgust. So people are trying to change things about themselves versus loving who they are. And that's where Herb Goddess come from, for me actually doing my self-love journey and talk about depression, talk about suicide. And I interview other people. And I was like, oh, you know what? I have my skincare line, so maybe I can just, what do I want to name it? And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. Being different. You know, because being different is beautiful. Uh-huh. Not something that's seen as something of like you're something wrong with you. And I was like, okay, I have these different soaps. What do I name it? I'm like, well, you know what? People want to know more about marijuana. All right, let me educate them on how I would want someone to educate me. And one of my biggest soaps is my hyperpigmentation soap. Hyperpigmentation is where you suffer from dark and light spots. Your toning is off, and some people peel a lot. They have different scabs and marks on their skin. So I named that one Sunset Sherbert because of what it looks like. It's like it looks like a sunset. The colors in the soap is orange and copper and red, like as if you're looking at a sunset off a cliff. And when you're looking at a sunset, what do you feel? You feel relaxed. You feel at peace. This soap is meant for you to use in the morning to wake you up and to give you that uplifting. And that's what Sunset Sherbert Strand does. It gives you like an immediate jolt, an uplift of cerebral energy. It leaves you so social and euphoric. It's a combination of well-balanced effects that have you pain-free in your mind and your body, but also having like a happy, carefree attitude. Is used for treating stress, depression, and pain. And then the other one is a big seller, is my Blue Dreams. It's like one of my favorites. It smells amazing. Oh my God, amazing. And that one, it has Lang Lang And it also helps to increase your libido, by the way. Natural increasing
that's,
of
that's
libido.
Always,
is always,
that's always good.
It's always that helpful.
Yeah, exactly.
So with that one, it has basically, it allows you to increase your libido. It helps with treating patients that suffer from chronic stress due to illness, injury, depression, sleep disorders, insomnia. And it's a blend of indica and stevia.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Yeah. And, you know, you touched on so much there. One thing, you know, going back, and I can talk about this all day, and I can talk to you about this all day, you know, talking about the self-image stuff and, you know, being rare. We're all rare, and we're all, like you said, imperfectly perfect. That's exactly how we are. And doesn't mean that, you know, we just have to accept our stuff, our inner stuff, or things we have to work on. We have to work on it, right? We can't just like pretend it doesn't exist. But at the same time, we have to love ourselves throughout the process, and realize that you know, acceptance is the answer to all my questions today, right? To all my problems today. Today, okay, so today's perfect, right? If the same thing's going on 5 years from now, then there's a problem, right? Because progress, right? We have to make progress. Progress is perfection. You know, making progress is better than perfection. So, but you know, all that stuff that people are dealing with, you know, it sucks that we have that mentality, that we've been kind of inoculated, brought up with that mentality. That we, you know, we look at ourselves in a negative way like that. So I love that, that you're doing something about it, that you've been, you know, incorporating into your entire business, and it's, look at what's led to with everything here. So now what has been your biggest obstacle here, you know, with between Growth of the Goddess, Lucky Oasis Meditation, you know, being in the cannabis industry, having a business, and how have you been able to overcome it?
I would say my biggest obstacle would be expanding, like reaching more people. Because, I mean, I'm new to San Diego, I'm from the East Coast, but also, like, people being, like, closed-minded, you know, like, that I don't want to try veganism, or you just want to shame me. Nobody wants to shame you for anything. If anything, you're shaming yourself.
Yeah.
When we judge other people, it's a reflection of how we see ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, you know what? Like, it's about marketing, learning your audience, and different geographic locations. So I've had to rebrand my business. Because I used to cook meat as well. It was pretty much like where vegans and meat eaters alike could come together. I rebranded it because I wanted my business to reflect me. Like, at first I was like, oh man, I don't want to stop cooking meat. I don't want to lose customers. But money can always be remade. You can't give these people their lives back.
Uh-huh.
And I had to really dig deep and to figure out what I wanted my business to be about. Like, it was so hard starting my business, because I've always worked a 9-to-5. And I was like, nope, I need to work. I need to pay bills. I need to do this and I need to do that. And going fully into entrepreneurship is scary.
Yeah.
Because you're like, am I going to be able to function? Am I going to be able to live? Are people going to buy from me? And everything goes back to your mentality. Like, you have to put trust in yourself that you can achieve this. Like, when I had my epiphany, when I turned 30, which was last year, and around the anniversary of my dad's passing, and I'm in the living room, I'm crying. I'm like, I don't know what the hell is wrong with me. Like, why are you crying? Like, are you supposed to be passes, like, it gets better. But in reality, it was because I was living a lot. Like, you have to be honest with yourself to live your true authentic self. Like, mm-hmm. I would have never imagined me doing my meditation outside, because where I grew up was how you are seen, how you carry yourself, what you say, everything, your image is everything. You're supposed to look a certain way and all this other stuff. And it's hard to be yourself when you're constantly allowing other people to have opinions of you. So taking that leap was really, like, it was a big deal. You know, and then targeting the right people. You know, and a lot of my clientele, unfortunately, is of different races. I barely have a lot of clientele that's African-American, you know. And I want to reach more African-American people. I want to reach more brown. And because people need to understand, like, it's not something that just another race does. So you feel like, oh, you're trying to be like this person. Hey, this is something that you have all around you. You know, like, don't you deserve a good quality of life? Why do you feel like you got to struggle in order for you to be able to succeed? Why do you feel like somebody is always holding you back? The only limitations that we have in life is the ones we put on ourselves. We're preconditioned to feel like our life is supposed to be hard. You know, like, Black people, you got to struggle. You need to. No, that's bullshit. You need to, like, just understand that you can do this. You got to believe in yourself. And if you don't believe in yourself, then ain't nobody going to believe in you either. Self-love, trust, loyalty, everything that we look for in everybody else, we got to find it in ourselves first.
Well, no doubt. And, you know, you touched on so much stuff there. I want to touch on a couple things that you brought up. You know, first and foremost, you know, talking about the communities that you're trying to reach and that you want to target and that you see kind of, you know, a block because of kind of what we're instilled in our cultures, you know, talking about reaching brown people, Black people. I'm brown. You know, my mom's born in a little pueblo in Mexico, and I lived in Mexico growing up as well. And, you know, you see a lot of, like you were saying earlier, not sharing things, not wanting to face things or hiding things, or, you know, grew up with, you know, with the uncles, you know, it's like, you know, it's machismo, you know, it's about the machismo, you know, it's about being that cool guy, you know, what we would call, I guess, say, toxic masculinity, you know, whatever, you know, but it's all, like you said, we can incorporate other cultures. We can incorporate the positivity of other cultures. Every culture has negatives and every culture has positives. And we can incorporate, you know, we can leave what doesn't serve us, you know, and we can accept different things that are helping us, and we can accept the things of our own cultures that are amazing and incredible. I'm so grateful to be who I am. I'm so grateful to have my upbringing. I'm so grateful for my cultures, and they make me who I am in such a deep way, on DNA level, on a soul level, different things going on. But at the same time, if I was just, I'm also grateful for being able to educate myself and being able to adopt things from other places and questioning what I know or questioning what I think I know or questioning what I was taught. And I think everybody has to do that. I encourage everybody to do that. And you also talked about, something that was very interesting was, you know, when you went away from the meat, from cooking meat, now you knew in your heart this wasn't something that you wanted to give. Something that you knew you wanted to get away from, because it contradicts kind of what your values are and what you're teaching and what you want to get out. At the same time, you felt like you're losing customers because not cooking meat, right? And I, you know, and it, you know, when I'm in marketing and doing all that stuff, and it's, you know, I want to encourage you and everybody out there listening as well that it's the opposite, right? When you actually, first of all, you said it, being true to your authentic self, right? People are gravitated to authenticity, right? They're gravitated to who you are. You have so much to give. You have so much that people want. And that's what you're here to do. And at the same time, from a marketing point of view, first of all, authenticity is what people desire and what they're gravitating to. And at the same time, niching down is great. You know, there's so many people who do want plant-based, who do want vegan, who do want all this, and that's what they're looking for. And I encourage everybody out there to really, you know, I think everybody wants to be everybody to everybody, and it's just impossible to be. It's so much better to find who you are and to dig deep and to really ask yourself the tough questions. because like you said, sometimes we feel like we're losing money when in fact we're actually, you know, from an esoteric, from a spiritual level, we're actually blocking our blessings when we go against our values and when we try and do something that isn't the right way and we know in our heart it isn't the right way. And we may be able to gain some monetary gain in the short come. Ultimately, we're going to not be fulfilled as we want to be. And ultimately, that money is going to leave us because it's not coming from a good source necessarily. When we accept who we are and we really dig deep and we say, you know what, I'm going to go down this path. Like you said, it's not easy. It's not easy being in business. It's not easy doing what we do, but it's so fulfilling. And you really see, wow, the barriers moving aside one by one, little by little, the more you go down the path and the more that you really challenge yourself and the more that you're challenged and you overcome this different obstacles and struggles. You know, it's something that's beautiful that you've gone, that you stuck to that and you say, you know what? Okay, cool. So maybe the percentage of people or the number of people that I could reach is less, but now not only do I have value, am I sticking to my own values, but there is a market here for this. This is something that people want. And I'm also able to serve them better for sure. And they can find me easier as well as a result. So,
yeah. Cause a lot of people think that veganism is expensive. Processed veganism is expensive, okay? Mm-hmm. My bread is so, oh my gosh, like $6. You like 10 pieces of bread. The Beyond Meat, even though it is good, the sausage, you only get 4 of them for $8. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, like now, like I want to do better. The number one comment that a lot of people make is like, well, I can go to McDonald's and I can get a burger and stuff for like a dollar or something, and why does a salad cost $5? So it's like, but I tell people that now, which is something that I am incorporating more wholesome food into what I eat. Anything that you want is worth you putting the time into. So you have to meal prep. And if you get lentils and you get potatoes and stuff like that, you can make a lot of different food. You just got to make time for it. So it's just about, you know, again, education, you know, and opening your mind and just tapping into, because a lot of people, what they don't realize, when you go into meditation and you dive into your different chakras and start unlocking things that were trapped away, it's a lot of things that you can come to realize wasn't about who you are, and that you were just told this is how you're supposed to live your life. And that's why a lot of people are gravitating towards opening themselves more and understanding more about themselves. But then some people, they like, oh, you know, I'll do this, but I need to be attached to a religion and I need to do this. No, baby, you just need to look inside and figure out what it is. A lot of people, they need leadership. So they go to these different organizations and they need someone to tell them how they need to live their life. And you don't always get the right person. You know, people don't understand there's a lot of energy vampires out here, people that want to take from you and leave you with nothing. If you ever been around somebody and when you leave from them, you feel drained, you feel exhausted, and like your mood, everything just feels off, that's an energy vampire. Uh-huh. Like, why keep putting into that, you know? And the same thing with food. If you eat something and you feel bad afterwards, you feel exhausted and it doesn't give you energy and it doesn't give you, you know, like, is it like you planting in a garden, right? And you pluck the weeds. And you want your fruit and your harvest to grow. Would you leave something there that's not going to contribute to your growth and just kill all your crop? Uh-huh. So why do the same thing to yourself?
It's all a one package. Everything you've been talking with me today has been one. It's all one package, right? We're talking about how we don't look at ourselves positively. We judge ourselves. People are dealing with depression and anxiety and you know, suicide, God forbid, and all these different things that are going on. And at the same time, we're struggling with adopting new ways of thinking and adopting different ways of doing things. And at the same time, we still want to take the easy route. And we still want to, like you said, you know, why can't I just go to McDonald's? Why does this have to cost so much? Because it does something different. And I agree, you know, the consumers shouldn't have to, you know, absorb the costs of eating a healthy, having a better diet, everything like that. But at the same time, if we saw what was going on inside of our bodies when we eat this stuff, it was just, we would run. If we saw the effects, we wouldn't do it. It's not worth it.
And hey, well, a lot of it's about convenience.
Of course, it's convenience, price, and the people who suffer, the people who can't afford it, you know, the people who can't afford it. And then those are the ones who, and that's why diabetes is running rampant. Obesity is running rampant in our society, in our country. And it's an epidemic.
No, the same thing with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a convenience for you to go to the store, get you some Advil and stuff like that versus going to go get some CBD.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you know where to go, then it can definitely be cost effective. CBD is more expensive than just buying hybrid stevia and indica.
Uh-huh.
You know, like they have the drops and stuff like that. But if you could save your life, why not invest in yourself?
Uh-huh.
Like you got to be doing it in order for you to, for it to be for your well-being, not just for shits and giggles.
Uh-huh.
If you're just smoking just to be smoking, what's the point of you buying something that's super expensive? Okay? Like, it's all about what do you want your outcome to be?
Uh-huh.
What is it behind it? And a lot of the times what we feel like our root problem is really isn't what the root problem is. And that is sad to say, but we don't educate ourselves enough, or we're not open-minded enough to accept information. You know, somebody could put it in front of you, like, this is what you need and everything else, but that doesn't mean you're going to look into it.
Yeah.
There's all these different places that have one of the dispensaries, actually a lot of them, have educational classes that you can actually take, and they educate you on the different strains and pain management and holistic practices and stuff like that. But a lot of, some people don't want to go. And a lot of people's excuses is, well, my job. Okay, they test for marijuana. Well, baby, that's CBD. You can do uh-huh. CBD. They even have CBD cigarettes.
Uh-huh.
Like, they call them herbal cigarettes. You know, like,
I grew up, obviously smoking weed, smoking bud, you know, so now it's incredible to have like the CBD pre-rolls and everything. It's incredible because,
oh my God, I love them.
You know, it's like you just, I grew up on a whole different way where it was like, if it doesn't get you high, you're like, oh man, where is this? Some swag. I'm just, you know, this is.
Yeah, you got some Reggie.
This is a man over here. There's nothing, you know, and, you know, and now it's like, oh, helping me with my anxiety, helping me with all the other things that are going on. So it's incredible. It's really, we live in the future. We live in such an amazing time. Now, I guess that brings me to my next question. What can we expect from Sunitra, from Herb Botanicals, from Growth of Goddess, from other things you got going on? What can we expect from you in the future?
So my goal is I want to be a distributor for any marijuana dispensary. I want to get my caramel sauce out there, but I'm going through the steps of educating myself more on angel investors and everything else, because you can't get no regular loan, and it's expensive trying to get all your licensing and stuff like that. So in the future, that's what I would like to do. But I do have a vegan soul food event where I make a 3-course dinner of all soul food, all plant-based, just to open people's minds to this is something that could be amazing, and you just want to keep coming back. Because I tell people all the time, once you eat my food, baby, you hook. It's like, so sad to say, it's like crack, you know, you just can't, or like a Pringle, you just can't have just
can't
a little
have one.
Bit.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
No, yep. But I'll be also expanding my line for my skincare. I have my scrubs, my body butters. But I also want to get into doing essential roll-ons, because a lot of way for you to reduce your stress is through aromatherapy. And then I also want to create a nonprofit for my meditation business, because I would love, because I offer free military services. I offer Reiki sessions at an extremely affordable price. I offer soul therapy sessions to people who can't afford a traditional therapist. And we take a completely different approach to discussing what's going on with you. So I definitely want to do that. And I'll be relocating to New Orleans. So I can't wait to be back in the Bayou. So by fall of this year, I'll be back in New Orleans and expanding my business more.
Wow, that is so great. So many stuff coming on. Now, I really love what you said about nonprofit for meditation services. Something else that, you know, goes back to what we're saying. People can't afford good food, stuff that's good for their body, and people can't afford mental health services and, you know, meditation services for sure out the window. Who has time for meditation services? Who has money for that? You know, it's ridiculous that this is actually the source of so many of our issues, and people don't have access to it. So, I mean, all the things you mentioned, you know, from the caramel sauce to the skin line to the aromatherapy roll-ons, you know, and I'm really excited for that. That sounds amazing. Now, I always ask all the amazing business owners, entrepreneurs, and, you know, you have amazing experience and amazing story. Now, how do you define success, and what does success look like for you?
How do I define success?
Yeah.
Well, if you would ask me a couple of years ago, I would say I would define success as the fact of having the amount of money that I want. But I define success as fulfillment within myself and the happiness that I get of being able to help others and to be a light and to help people to find themselves. That being able to help people unlock that love inside of them and to just tap into something else and to help them to heal, that's success to me. Because you can have all the money in the world and still not be successful.
100%. Yeah, I think that's a second answer is right on point. You know, I think a lot of people definitely are looking at monetary measures of success. But that is just so fleeting and so not fulfilling. You can see people who have everything, and people who have a lot of people who have everything, and they're spiritually happy and healthy and everything. But there's also people who it doesn't make you that way. That's for sure not. So definitely, you know, helping people to unlock the love inside of them. That's incredible. It's very good. So as we close, how can people find out more about you, more about Goddess, Growth of Goddess? And lucky and be able to connect with you.
So I have Instagram, Facebook, all that good love and stuff. But on my Instagram, it is Goddess Chef Luck. So that's GODDESS Chef CHEF Luck LUCK. And then my meditation page is Lucky Reiki Meditation. And then I'm on Facebook. Growth of the Goddess Chef Services, also Lucky Oasis Meditation and Wellness. I have my website. But if you Google me, all of my stuff pops up. So if you Google, I'm also on Spotify, Tune In, Apple Podcasts, and all of that actually is integrated into my other websites as well.
Very good. Yeah, check out her podcast. You're on my podcast. You know, check out her podcast. Definitely worth it. And Sinitra, thank you so much for jumping on with me today. And I really enjoyed it. And good luck for you to the rest of 2020 and beyond.
Thank you. You as well. Peace, love, positive vibes, abundance of prosperity. We all
need
that.
Amen. All the above. All the good things. Brother.
We at Calican are passionate about cannabis marketing,
branding, and web design. If you're a cannabis entrepreneur and you know you need an uptake in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calacan.com and schedule a time to speak with us. Plans start at $248. Thanks for listening in to Dank Discussions, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. We want to continue making dank content you want, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calacan.com. That's C-A-L-A-C-A-N-N.com. And follow us on Instagram for our latest updates.